Hello again and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest. I'm Nate Weck and thanks for joining me once again. Here is the top radio news of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for the week ending August 26th, 2016. A week-long investigation during the Sturgis rally has led to several arrests for sex crimes. SDPB's Aaron Myros has the report.
Eight men are facing felony charges for attempting to solicit a minor over the internet. Local and state investigators worked together during the seven-day investigation. Attorney General Marty Jackley says the arrests send a message that South Dakota is not the place for predators seeking to solicit minors.
There's a strong deterrent value by having law enforcement out actively protecting children that really sends that message that South Dakota is off limits for those seeking to do harm to our children.
Jackley says cases of children becoming victims of labor and sex trafficking are more limited. But he says in these cases, law enforcement depends on the public, who are often the first to see something out of the ordinary.
Seeing maybe a young child being treated differently or acting differently, and it's the public that often helps us protect those children.
Jackley says in sex trafficking investigations, the first step is breaking into the network before individuals can be arrested.
South Dakotans who don't have insurance are more likely to skip cancer screenings. As SDPB's Keely Boltina reports, figures from the South Dakota Department of Health show insurance status affects patients' prevention care decisions.
Health leaders are examining cancer screening rates, and they say a stark division emerges when breaking down the numbers. Secretary Kim Malsom-Risden leads South Dakota's Department of Health. She says people without insurance receive fewer cancer screenings than people with health coverage.
In the case of mammograms, our statewide rate, 73.5, rises to 76.5 if the person has insurance, down to 36.8 for those without insurance. Colorectal, same scenario, 62.5 statewide, rises to 66.7 with insurance, down to 26.5 without insurance.
Malsom-Risden says preventative care improves patient health. It also saves money because advanced disease is more costly to treat. Malsom-Risden says financial barriers can keep people from proper health care, so can distance.
We, by necessity and via innovation, use technology to a very great degree, and that helps benefit folks that live in those less populated areas. So we have great telehealth networks. We see great outcomes from that as a service. And so I would put the quality of healthcare in South Dakota up against any other states any day.
Malsom-Risden says the state's ongoing challenge is getting people access to medical care despite the distance.
Members of the Barefoot Dance Studio in Rapid City are teaming up with other artists to teach the public about some of the First Ladies of the United States. The First Ladies Performance Arts Walking Tour takes place in downtown Rapid City tonight at select statues of the presidents. The project has goals of both education and entertainment. SDPB's Jim Kent has the story.
The first segment, you're just going to do a couple of little movements, okay? And then the second one, you're going to do a couple of little movements again.
Shapira Goodstar is an instructor at the Barefoot Dance Studio. She says this year's Team Camp Summer Group project was named by the girls involved.
It is called the First Ladies Performing Arts Walking Tour. They found First Ladies throughout history that inspired them. Right now what they're doing is they're getting some information and getting some facts on these ladies, and as they're doing that, they're kind of finding things about her that inspire movement, that will inspire them to dance.
As I visit the studio, 10 girls are rehearsing in small groups to present a dance interpretation of what they've discovered about their first ladies.
For instance, one of them was a Broadway performer, so a couple of the girls are like, let's do Broadway.
Those girls would be 12-year-old Hannah and 11-year-old Grace.
We're doing like a Broadway-type dance because she was a Broadway dancer at a kind of young age.
Okay.
She lived in Oklahoma? New York.
No, she was New York. In New York.
And she moved to Los Angeles at a young age.
Finding out just who that person was is what the First Ladies Performing Arts Walking Tour is all about. At least one musical First Lady honoree is scheduled along with the dancers. The Barefoot Dance Studio performers have chosen five of Rapid City's 42 presidential statues for the spots where they'll put their movements into motion. They include Abraham Lincoln, Gerald Ford, John F. Kennedy, James Buchanan, and Ronald Reagan.
A Native American political observer says 2016 could be a record year for the number of Native candidates on the ballot across the country. Mark Trahant says just under 100 candidates are running for office. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
Mark Trahant is a journalism professor at the University of North Dakota. He says this could be a record year for the number of Native people running for office. He's tallying up the number of Native candidates nationwide, but he says since this is the first time a count like this has been done, he says he's cautious about making a superlative statement. Trahant says after November, seven states in the country could end up with fair representation of Native Americans in elected office.
The great story is Montana. Montana, like many states, had one or two, and then all of a sudden, with redistricting, they started including more reservation boundaries and expanded. And this time around, there's actually 11 candidates from Montana. Montana is about 7.5% Native American, but the legislature, depending on the election, could actually be a higher percentage than the population, which is really remarkable.
He says Native people see how effective they can be in influencing policy on a state level, which is cause for an increase in candidates. As for South Dakota, seven Native candidates are vying for offices in state government, six for either the State House or Senate, and one who is running for Public Utilities Commissioner. Trahant points to a unique race in Sioux Falls in House District 14.
One of the things in South Dakota this time around is having an urban candidate. There's been candidates for legislature from the reservation before, but having somebody run from J.R. LaPlante, who's trying to say, I'm just a citizen, I'm also Native American, I can bring both perspectives to the legislature. And that's probably the toughest sell because it's just so invisible.
Nationwide, Trahant says 75 Native Democrats are running for state or federal office, as well as 15 Native Republican candidates.
A group of artists from Minnesota and western Wisconsin spent time painting in plein air, or in the outdoors, in the Black Hills last week. Some of their works were temporarily on display this weekend at the South Dakota State Railroad Museum. SDPB's Victoria Wicks went to Hill City to see the paintings and meet the president of the Outdoor Painters of Minnesota.
When you stand near the paintings at the exhibit, you can smell fresh oil paint. That's because some of the paintings, even though framed, are still wet. Several of them were created by group president Allison Eklund.
We decided that it was time to do a plein air road trip. And what better place to road trip than the Black Hills of South Dakota? It's one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Eklund says she was familiar with the Black Hills from days when she went horse camping here. And so she gathered together artist friends who share a love of the Black Hills and put together an itinerary. Eklund says she arranged for South Dakota artists to join the Minnesota group in paintouts.
It was just a wonderful opportunity to have an exchange of ideas and companionship and to learn from the journeys of other artists.
She says her group believes in the inherent value of painting live from nature. Eklund, who is a lawyer, points out that Winston Churchill was a plein air painter and wrote that the pastime is a way to channel intellectual energy into peaceful creativity. She says plein air painting is exploding in popularity nationwide. Her group supports outdoor painters at every stage of their journey, from beginner to professional. Museum Director Rick Mills says the Railroad Museum is hosting a summer-long art exhibit with pieces from 15 other exhibitors around the state and from the permanent collection at the museum.
Allison and I talked back, and I believe in January, and they were looking for venues in Hill City, and we thought it would be a fantastic tie-in with our exhibit that we were having throughout the summer, too.
Mills says the museum's part of the show is up through the end of August.
A South Dakota resident is fighting the Zika virus. The Centers for Disease and Control reports the victim was infected by a mosquito bite while traveling in the tropics. SDPB's Gary Ellenbolt has more.
The state's first case of Zika is an unidentified woman who was not in South Dakota when she became infected. South Dakota State Epidemiologist Dr. Lon Keitlinger says we're a good distance from any mosquito that would spread the virus through its bite.
We had a South Dakota person who traveled to the Caribbean, which is in the Zika zone now, and became sick and evidently or obviously was bitten by a mosquito there, came back to South Dakota, got sick, was tested for Zika virus by the CDC laboratory, and ended up being our first positive case.
Keitlinger says Zika is a very mild illness and not contagious between people unless the infected person is pregnant. Then the virus can be passed on to the fetus and cause several health concerns. He says the only way to recover is to ride it out.
There's no specific treatment for this, no vaccination for this. And if you come home here to South Dakota, there's no risk to the public. We do not have the Zika-carrying mosquitoes in South Dakota. We're not a tropical or a subtropical state, so there's no risk that it's going to spread.
Keitlinger says South Dakota has a bigger problem with another mosquito-borne illness. He says cases of West Nile virus are higher than reported last year, and about 30% of those infected have been hospitalized. Keitlinger says the state has reached the peak season for West Nile, and people need to take precautions.
Avera Health plans to build a new cancer center in Pierre. As SDPB's Aaron Myros reports, the Helmsley Charitable Trust donated money to pay for the facility.
Avera's new cancer facility is going to be named the Helmsley Center after a $10 million donation from the Helmsley Charitable Trust. Michael Holland is president and CMO at Avera St. Mary's Hospital in Pierre. He says the facility is going to offer treatments such as infusion for chemotherapy, diagnostic services, and radiation oncology.
At this time, people in central South Dakota, if they're diagnosed with cancer, half of those people will end up needing radiation therapy. They have to travel 150 miles or more away from home right now to receive radiation therapy as part of their cancer treatment plan. And so this will allow them to stay home close to their physicians, their family, their friends, and their work.
The Helmsley Charitable Trust is donating $7.5 million for construction. The trust is matching an Avera fundraising campaign to raise an additional $2.5 million, totaling $10 million in funding. The center is set to be located between the hospital and the current Avera Medical Group Clinic building. Holland says the project includes space for primary and specialty care.
That'll include things like general surgery, of course, oncology, urology, and dermatology, which is also a new service we're going to be offering here in Central South Dakota.
The groundbreaking is set for next spring with a possible opening date in the fall of 2018.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Dakota Digest. If you'd like to read or hear additional radio news stories of South Dakota Public Broadcasting or view more programming of the network, visit us online, sdpb.org. Also, be sure to connect with South Dakota Public Broadcasting on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and by following our Twitter accounts. Our handles are at SODACPB, at SDPB News, at SDPB Sports, and at SDPB. I am Nate Weck for South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Have a great weekend, everyone.